How many times has it been said there's a difference between hearing and listening? Sound is a virtually inescapable part of the world around us. Just as a doctor listens to a heartbeat to study a person's health, the sound of our physical environment can give some clues about its status. That is the science of ecoacoustics. An international conference starting today at Michigan State University focuses on this particular research. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now with more. Kevin, what does the environment sound like?
Well, Mark, I think we all hear it every day. Cars, birds, people talking, all these things and more. It's really what this mix of noises tells us about how healthy the planet is that fascinates researchers. So to learn more, I spoke with Dr. Stuart Gage. He is a professor emeritus from Michigan State University. We met bright and early around 6:30 in the morning a few days ago in a wooded area of Meridian Township where Dr. Gage has a series of sensors that record the world around us 24 hours a day.
I come here quite often in the morning to just enjoy the forest and walk the dog, and I've had four sensors here, so about once a month I come and change the batteries and listen to the sounds of the place. These four places are in the forest, but at the edge of the wetland. You can see over there, there's a young deer hopping away there. There's a big wetland right here next to the road, which you can hear the cars coming by here. Technophony.
Technophony is your word.
Right, technophony. It's the sound of things that humans make that make noise. So it's usually planes and boats and trucks and cars and jet skis and all those sort of things.
A mix of technology and cacophony.
Righto, righto.
We just got a visit up close from a bee. We can hear the birds as well. So without looking at your sensors right now, just listening with the naked ear, if that's the word for it, what can you tell about our environment, given your training?
You can get all kinds of things. You can tell which species of birds are in the environment. You can tell when the dawn chorus is happening. You can tell when the dusk chorus is happening. You can tell about the arrival of birds in the springtime and the leaving of birds in the fall. You can measure ecological health. If you look at different metrics, measure biodiversity or at least sound diversity in a set of recordings and so on. So you can do an awful lot with sound that you can't do with any other instrument that I could find.
We're talking with Michigan State University Professor Emeritus Stuart Gage, who is an ecoacoustician. Ecoacoustics is the study of the soundscape of the environment. And we're in the Ted Black Woods in Meridian Township, just off of Van Atta Road. Are we near a sensor that would tell us anything?
Well, we're relatively near a sensor. We'd have to go down into the at the edge of the interface between the wetland and the forest to look at one of the sensors. I have one in my backpack that I can show you, which is one I received from Australia. It's new to me, but it's fairly easy to operate.
Can you show me?
I will show you, sure.
This is a grayish-colored plastic box that looks like something that way back in the 20th century we used to call an index card holder.
Yeah, it does look a lot like an index card holder, and the nice thing about it, it's quite small and light. You can attach a microphone to it and turn it into an automated sound recorder. So if I open up the box, look inside, we'll see that it's wakened up, and it tells you I've got it programmed to record 48 times a day. So you can see on the screen it says next recording is going to be 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's about now.
So it'll start recording soon. And it has an SD card and a battery, and so it's pretty rugged and pretty reliable. So measuring 48 times a day, I'll get the whole gamut of sounds. Even though it's only a 1 minute long recording, you can certainly tell the difference between the time when the dawn chorus occurs and the time when the dusk chorus occurs, because there's a smaller dusk chorus that happens as well. And then we get into the middle of the day when most of the human activity happens. So I've got a fix on the time, which is fun for me to look at and analyze and so on. So I've developed some metrics to be able to turn the sounds into numbers, and then each one of those values then can be plotted over this 48 times a day and averaged over a season, over a week, over a month, whatever.
I think we have company. That's an anthropogenic sound.
It is an anthropogenic sound, yes. They've the squeaking of the gate.
Do songbirds alter the pitch or tone of their calls based on the human environments? I mean, are there species that have been around for a long time, and when humans encroach, they either learn to adapt and call their mates a different way, or they leave the area because they don't want to be around humans?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And some birds with higher pitched sounds get drowned out by the technophony and can't really survive or live in a place that is maybe nice, but too noisy for them to communicate with each other. Of course, that's why they have evolved to sing during the dawn chorus, because that's when people are asleep and the wind is low, and the sounds travel the farthest. So some species can exist in very urban environments. It depends on the species. Some species are more sensitive to others. Usually it's the higher pitched ones or the ones with the most delicate sounds that leave. The ones with the louder sounds or lower pitched sounds can survive near human habitat. So hence we get English sparrows and starlings and so on at the near human dwellings, whereas we don't see many warblers and some of the smaller, more delicate birds nearby.
Are birds the only canaries in the coal mine, or do you listen to frogs, the occasional coyote? Are there other animals out there that indicate the health of the ecosystem?
Well, I listen to everything, and birds are just one of the dominant features of the soundscape, but certainly there are wolves and coyotes, and even deer make occasional noises. They sort of bark like a dog when they get upset. But
you can tell, though, from study, that if the pitch or tone or something of these animals is off, there may be an ecological health problem out there.
Sure, sure. And that's partly, you know, what I'm trying to study, is whether or not the environment is a system, or whether we humans have broken it up into sort of pieces that don't fit together anymore. We'll just head down into the pathway here and go into the woods. It's, I don't know if you'd call it old growth. I do. There are some trees in here that are a couple hundred years old at least. And it's mainly an oak, maple, some beech, and cherry. And it's a pretty impressive forest, and they've built some nice pathways to walk along on Tuesday morning. And I'm going to bring a group of maybe 30 or 40 people from the Congress here to just walk in the woods and listen to the sounds as we just kind of quietly walk through. Many of them are going to be from Australia, some from Italy, some from Germany, some from Brazil, and so on. So I'm not sure if they've been to this neck of the woods before, into our Great Lakes state, and so I thought at least they could have a little jaunt into the Ted Black Forest.
Now, trees don't talk, but is there any acoustic signature at all with trees themselves?
Well, with trees, people have done some studies, and of course, the leaves of trees, when the wind blows, sound different depending on the species. But other than that, they provide the infrastructure for the landscape. They provide the resting spots for birds. This woods in particular, they leave all of the ground cover as it is, so if a tree falls over, and we'll walk along the pathway to see some of the fallen trees, but you can see from this wetland, which has dried out in the last couple of weeks, that there's lots of vegetation on the ground, there's lots of dead material and so on. And all of that is part of the ecosystem for housing and feeding the inhabitants.
So now that begs the question, Stuart. If a tree falls over in the woods and there's no one there to hear it.
Well, I might be there. I might be there. You know, since our acoustic monitoring is going on, we are more likely to hear the tree fall these days, at least in these woods, because I'm recording 24/7.
Is this the first Congress of its kind that you're hosting at MSU this week?
Actually, it's the second one. The first one was held 2 years ago in Paris, France, about this time of the year, and I wasn't able to make that meeting because I was in Anchorage, Alaska at the time doing another conference. So I got roped into hosting this one while I was away.
So these will be professional listeners who are used to listening to nature quite intensely.
Well, that's true. And we think that we don't listen to nature enough. Part of it is an educational program to encourage the younger generation to take some of their music out of their ears and listen to the sounds of nature. We know that the sounds of music are good, but the sounds of nature will bring them closer to places like Dead Black Woods and begin to appreciate the value of these places rather than chopping them down and planting trees in this area, which probably would have occurred if there hadn't been somebody like Ted Black to say, this is a special place, don't disturb it.
Dr. Stuart Gage is the coordinator and secretary general of the International Society for Ecoacoustics and the Ecoacoustics Congress, which is taking place this week at Michigan State University. We have been scouring the woods in Meridian Township, listening to nature and learning what it has to say to us. Dr. Gage, thanks so much for this opportunity this morning, and best of luck with this conference.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you very much for coming out and spending an hour with me.
From deep in the woods of Meridian Township, for Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.